Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure to be part of your day. I'm excited about having our good friend Ted Fishman back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Ted is a world-renowned journalist, an award-winning journalist, and he's the author of China Inc. He's become our China expert in the Brain Trust, and he's here to talk to us about that country, and especially along the lines of what do we have to gain or to fear from China. Ted, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be with you, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Happy holidays.
Same to you.
Ted, a year ago, when I do my what I call the Small Business Advocate crystal ball predictions about this time every year. I haven't done my 07 predictions yet, but a year ago approximately, I made this prediction. One of my predictions for 06 was China will improve its standing in the global marketplace. Russia will not. Now, when I came back, understand, Ted, that I have low expectations for China. I don't expect them to, you know, turn into England or something in terms of the marketplace. But I do believe that they are, you know, making progress. It may be slow and it may be grudging, but they are making progress. But as opposed to Russia, which I consider to be actually going backwards. What do you think?
I think you can't separate the two predictions, because in a lot of ways China is a model for Russia.
Right.
And Russia feels it went too fast. It went too fast politically, and it went too fast economically by getting rid of too much regulation, too much ownership from the state right away.
Mm-hmm.
And they look across the border at China's success and they envy it. So in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. Putin is trying to recast himself in a leader more like the leaders of the Chinese Communist Party, which is to say, not a communist, but a strong authoritarian a leadership at the middle of a mostly capitalist economy in which the state has a big stake and can finance itself from the economic growth.
Mm-hmm. But China, whether you agree, correct me if I'm wrong here, Ted, but whether you agree with, you know, whether you like all the things that they do or not, which, you know, most people don't like all the things they do, you gotta, and even though it's not beautiful yet, you gotta tip your hat to China's, to what they've accomplished so far for themselves, as opposed to Russia, which I consider to be a failure.
Well, if you don't admire China, you don't see what's going on there, because it is so very impressive.
Right.
There are big causes for worry, but at the same time, in just the 5 years, Jim, that China's been a member of the World Trade Organization, its gross domestic product, I think, has more than doubled,
right?
Have even tripled.
Right.
And incomes in the period of market reform have gone up between 5 and 6-fold in that country.
And Russia's still not a member of WTO, is it?
No, I don't believe it is.
I think they're not yet, and they want that desperately, but they, you know, they keep killing journalists over there, and putting their rivals in prison in Siberia, and they keep doing stuff like that. Not that China doesn't. It's just that Russia gets caught, I think.
Well, Russia has the unenviable task, and nothing we should admire, of trying to reassert the power of the state. And it's a police state, so it uses
right.
the worst police methods. And the miracle in China is that it's lifting hundreds of millions of people out of the very bottom depths of poverty. And the tragedy of Russia is that it's most of its people, the middle class on down, have been losing ground in their standard of living.
Well, but the Russians themselves, the people, are quite a bit different in terms of their entrepreneurial attitude than from the Chinese. Is that correct?
Well, I think, you know, for me, it's always this mix. You know, you used the word stew before. This mix of culture and structure. You know, what are people allowed to do? What do they feel they have room to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, China is very entrepreneurial by nature, but it's also thrown tens of millions of people out of state-owned factories who have no work whatsoever and have been forced to start their own business.
Mm-hmm. Which to me is not a, is, you know, I mean, I know that's tough. But that's probably ultimately going to be one of the best things that could happen to China.
Oh, it's been the primary driver of China's miracle. There's no question about it.
Because when you desire entrepreneurship, you must have liberty. And that's the reason I've said for a long time now, Ted, that I believe capitalism and the marketplace will precede democracy, not the other way around in China. Stand by 20 till we get back. There was a trip by some folks in the United States to China, and we're going to over to Beijing, and we're going to get Ted to tell us whether those guys had any success or not. It's 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Chicago for you in honor of our guest, Mr. Ted Fishman, who is hails from the great city of the Broad Shoulders, the Chicago area. See, Ted, we got a little something for everybody here.
Oh, I love that.
Hey, Ted, and by the way, folks, Ted's the author of China Inc., and he is our China expert in the Brain Trust. And Ted, you were there in the summer. You're going back in February. Is that right?
Yeah, and I've been crisscrossing the country, probably spoken with about 50 groups since we last talked about how China is impacting them. And it's been a fascinating journey. The story's changing in this country so much.
Well, since you were there, we had a delegation to go over. Six cabinet members went to Beijing fairly recently. And I'd like for you to give us a little bit of a report on what you think they accomplished.
Well,
who were these people?
Well, it was an incredible collection led by the Secretary of the Treasury, the head of the Federal Reserve, the
right.
Secretary of Commerce. Some people from the Transportation Department went over.
Bernanke? Didn't the Fed chairman go?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I don't know if you mentioned. I couldn't remember if you mentioned him or not, but I knew that he went over there.
He went over there
and
gave a very long speech.
Which was pretty interesting, wasn't it, I thought, for him to go.
It's unusual. I mean, these are not people. We do not send our Fed chairmen on trade missions. And he has a different personality than the political officials. He's not a political guy.
Right.
And in many ways, his agenda is at odds with the political agenda of
mm-hmm.
the Treasury Secretary.
Mm-hmm.
So they went over to show that the administration is taking Americans' concerns about China seriously. Evidence for them that China is a big issue came in the last election, too, because the polls showed that there was enormous concern among the American people about how whether China was playing by the rules in international trade.
Well, we know they're not playing by the rules.
There was a report from the U.S. Trade Representative that came out last week, a 100-page report that really chronicled China's dismal record from our point of view. Of course,
mm-hmm.
the reason why it's hard, even when six cabinet officials go to China to make any substantive progress, is because China is winning with its game plan.
Yeah.
It's doing very well for its people. And countries only change when it suits them, and that's when they can be expected to change.
But don't we have to look at what you just said as an opportunity to find new customers? If China's people are doing better, aren't they more likely to buy our stuff that they don't make over there?
They're more likely to be inclined to buy our stuff. The question is, do they have the buying power to buy our stuff?
Well, you've told us that 300 million Chinese are middle class over there.
Yeah, they're middle class, but they're to buy goods at a world price rather than domestically made Chinese goods is more difficult for them than people even in other developing countries because their currency is pegged to the dollar and
mm-hmm.
kept too low.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are buying,
so they don't get the same advantage the Europeans and the English do.
No, it's like we get everything for 40% off, and they have to pay a 40% tax on everything.
Right, right.
And so of course we buy lots and lots of stuff, and they keep their hands in their pockets.
Mm-hmm. And they also, and the other thing they do is they, and you can work this into your discussion if you don't want to, if you don't want to touch this right now, but they also, the biggest problem we have is stealing our intellectual property.
That is absolutely true, and that was high on the agenda. The Chinese continue to make the most bold claims on the measures they're going to take to protect the intellectual property of foreign participants in their economy, but so far, there's been very, very little evidence that they're willing to enforce those proclamations. And this is, you know, as one government official said to me, for the United States, this is the moral equivalent of negotiating nuclear weapons
States. There's no question about it. This is, folks, we've heard me say before, you've heard me quote Frederick Bastiat before, the great 19th century economist and comedian, who said, when goods cross borders, armies don't. So I do believe that we're better off aiming our ships at each other than instead of missiles at each other. But those ships have to be, we don't need to be fighting a war on those commerce vessels, which right now we are in a war with China for the protection of our intellectual property, aren't we, Ted?
Oh, we absolutely are. You know, I heard this chilling story recently from a maker of agricultural machinery where one of their big field machines, a machine that had 30,000 parts, was re-engineered by a Chinese government institute, which tooled and machined all 30,000 parts and built five identical copies of that machine. Mm. And it goes right after what we do best.
Will we ever solve that problem? I mean, is China too much of a wild, wild west to ever get hold of that?
I think we can solve it, Jim. We have to say, look, part of the savings that we get from Chinese goods is from this mass piracy that, you know, China's like the Napster economy, right?
Right.
So, you know, if
that's a great quote, Ted. I never heard anybody else say that. That's great.
so if we're getting goods from China because they're Napster, you know, we have to figure out a way to put a fee on that. And that way you create a
cultural... You're talking about tariffs, though.
Well, kind of cultural... Well, it could be
that's
that.
Protectionism.
It could be a kind
I'm against protectionism.
It could be a way... Yeah. It could just be allowing customs to stop goods at the border if they feel they've been made by...
Now, there you go. There you go. You know, one of the stories that I may have told you before that I heard, I don't know how accurate this is, but that they're making American knockoff golf clubs so close. I mean, they're so accurate as a you know, clone of a club. Not a clone. I mean, they're trying to make it look like a real American club. The manufacturer had to actually cut one in half to tell that it wasn't theirs.
Well, they're lucky they could tell. Sometimes the manufacturers can't tell.
Even when they cut them in half. Unbelievable. Ted Fishman is our guest, folks. His book is China Inc., and he and I will be right back. Stay with us. Little Steely Dan for you there. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Ted Fishman. Ted, give us your website and tell us where your book's available, please.
It's www.chinainc-book.com.
All right.
And it should be available wherever you buy books. Of course, all the big online sellers have it, and often at a terrific discount. So
please check it out, folks. Don't forget, there are over 1.6 billion in China? What is the number now?
Yeah, I mean, the rounding error in the census is the size of our whole population, so it's hard to say.
The rounding error is the size of our population. So
1.3 to 1.6.
1.3 to 1.6, and folks, that's how many potential customers are over there. That's one of the ways I try to keep China in perspective by thinking about it like that, Ted. But back to this delegation, what did they quickly, I want you to tell us what they did and didn't accomplish, and then I want you to tell us what all that means for small business.
Well, they had meetings that matched each of their functions in the administration. Of course, the top line issues coming from the Treasury were the currency issue and WTO compliance, whether China's markets are open enough. But then there were specific issues. So the Transportation Department would have been talking about aerospace. Do we have enough gates available to us at Chinese airports?
Right.
There are only 10 direct flights from the United States to China a day.
Wow.
You know, there's 150 to Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And so these, there were all kinds of issues up and down the agenda that we were looking at. And you know, they may seem individual and specific, but if you put them all together, they create a trade picture that looks too restrictive for our taste.
Mm-hmm. So the, basically, we went over with a little bit of an axe to grind, and because we wanted to see some things improved. In general, did we get our axe sharpened, or did we get it handed back to us?
Well, there was nothing immediate, and usually that can actually, Jim, can be a good sign, because when trade officials go over, or our officials go over, and then they very publicly sign multi-billion-dollar
right.
deals.
Lip service.
Yeah, it's usually a way. It usually shows that, you know, somebody's buying us off because we have short attention spans.
Right.
And then the long-term picture is bad. But if they're really creating this multi-year dialogue, which they say they are, then it may turn out good. But so far, there's very few positive signs. So
well,
we can only hope for the backroom talk.
To set you up for what you think this all this means for small business, I'm a free trader. I bleed free trade. I'm ardently, diabolically opposed to whatever you want to say, opposed to tariffs and to protectionism. And I think as I say, when goods cross borders, armies don't. And we need to figure out a way to trade with these people and not put up barriers. Now, what do you think?
Well, free trade when it works is the best policy. The question is, how do you get there? Right now, we have something that only approximates free trade with China and very few hammers in which to get them to be freer.
Do we have few hammers, or are we just choosing not to use the hammers we have?
We're choosing not to use them. We don't even take cases to the boards that decide WTO cases.
Yeah. That's not China's fault.
No.
I mean, that's our fault.
Well, I think you know my view on this, which is nearly every problem we have with China, we could solve at home.
Yeah. Give us an example.
Well, we can take these cases to the WTO arbitration boards.
Right.
We can file complaints. So far, the Commerce Department hasn't heard a single complaint.
Who's responsible for doing that?
They've only heard one. What?
Who's responsible for taking those?
It's an administration view. You know,
yeah.
One of the things that pushed those cabinet secretaries to China was new hope that they have with the Chinese, because there's a Democratic Senate and Congress right now.
Mm-hmm.
They feel they can go over there now and say, look, we have ornery people back home. If you don't give us some action, which is an interesting...
That's the nicest thing I've heard the Democrats call lately, Ted. quickly, I've got 40 seconds. They've
sure.
got an environmental problem that's coming. The solution to pollution is not dilution in China anymore, is it?
No, you need market-based solutions to pollution in China. It's too hard to regulate companies in China because they're government companies. So you
right.
need a way for them to make money and do things like pollution credits, environmental credits.
They got. I mean, that country. Sometimes I get the feeling that country is going to just torch itself over there with all the pollution that they've done to themselves.
It can happen, and right now structurally they're incapable of getting the kinds of solutions we had because you can't get the advocacy that Western democracies had on pollution.
Right. Hey, Ted, well done today. Thank you for this. If we don't talk to you beforehand, have a safe trip to China, and please come back quickly and report on what you found.
I'd be delighted to. Thanks, Jim.
Happy holidays, Ted.
Same to you.
Ted Fishman, ladies and gentlemen, the book is called China Inc., and as you know, I highly recommend it to you. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, reminding you that you should always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.